Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. And for those of you who don't know me personally, which I think most of you do, but I'm really passionate about helping you change your perspective so you can clearly see what your successful future looks like, whatever that is for you. And by incorporating the little changes that my guest and I share on the show, hopefully that will help you create the changes that you're looking for in your life, hopefully to scale your business and ultimately to grow income, but also to create more harmony in your life. So thanks for joining us this week. Now, my motivational quote is by Charles F. Glassman, and he says, "Believing in negative thoughts is the single greatest obstruction to success." So think for a minute, would you consider yourself a positive or a negative thinker? Another way to think of it, when you think about that question is, do you think your glass is half full? Is your glass usually half empty? Now, do you feel like life is happening to you, or that you're fully engaged with your life choices and results? Now, just take a second and really be honest with yourself. You don't have to answer to me, but you do have to answer to you. So seeing all the bad things that are happening around the world, are you finding it hard to see things from just a little bit of that positive perspective? Don't worry, we've got you and help is on the way. Of course, I have a great guest today. So in the next few minutes, you're going to hear about a new way of seeing the world to help your glass hopefully overflow. Today, my guest is Michelle Blood, and we're going to talk about her latest book, The Magic of Affirmation Power. Now, Michelle shares her story of how she went from being a rock singer in Australia to having a near-fatal car accident and healing herself through positive affirmation music. Now, the music she calls Musivation, I hope I said that right, she created this new form of positive thinking through music and went on to work all over the world with such greats, wait for the list, Bob Proctor, went on stage with Bob and Dr. Wayne Dyer, one of my all-time favorites, Louise Hayes, another favorite, Dr. Deepak Chopra, and so many other wonderful positive teachers and authors. She's amazing. So please help me welcome to the show, Michelle. I'm thrilled that you're here. The book was amazing. I can't wait to discuss it.
Thank you, Connie. Wonderful to be here with you.
Same.
I love hearing your accent, actually.
Oh. Okay. So, yes, I have a Jersey accent. Thank you for noticing. I love your Australian accent. It's absolutely, it sounds magical. Your accent sounds, I guess, because I'm from the United States, it's just very beautiful the way you speak. So I'm loving listening to your accent.
Very common to me, of course.
Yeah. I know. I don't have an accent. You do,
right? I don't
right?
have an accent. You do.
I love it. So, Michelle, you write about affirmations and how they healed your body. Can you just share some of your journey so people understand where you're coming from?
Yeah. It's a very, very unique journey. So a lot of people get into positive thinking or the law of attraction or something to do with self-help because they are not happy in their life and they want to do something to improve it. They might have some sort of mystical satori, something transforms them into knowing that they can change their life. It's always a spiritual thing. However, with me, it was a life I adored. I was so happy touring around Australia with my rock band, managing the band, writing music, even writing music for other people. I mean, I loved my life. So I didn't know anything about affirmations or motivational seminars or those sort of books or anything because I'd never, ever been resonating with that line of the world. It wasn't in my periphery at all. But then in Australia, touring Australia is very, very tough. Mm. It's very tough because you have to drive sometimes 12 to 15 hours to get to the next gig. Because back then, we only had 17 million people in the entire country mm-hmm. of Australia. And so the gigs, the cities are miles apart. I mean, to the extent you have to put petrol or what you call gas in tins in the car because you will run out of gas before you get to a petrol station. And so it's pretty tough. Anyway, so one night, we'd been driving for about, I don't know, 13 to 14 hours by then. I was asleep. The driver, everyone took turns. He fell asleep at the wheel and hit a telephone pole, and all the keyboards and speakers went into me. And so I had a fractured back. My hip bone was completely just split. Pelvis absolutely completely smashed. There's no bone there at all. And all the bone fragments were right through all of my bladder and different organs. Ugh. So they didn't – yeah, it's pretty horrible. I hope I didn't make anyone lose their lunch or dinner, whatever time you're watching this. Anyway, and so I was told if I survived, I would, you know, have physical limitations, which was horrific for me because I was a crazy person on stage. I'd do cartwheels. I'd jump on top of the speakers. You know, I was a very, very energetic performer. And so when you're in emotional pain, you can get depressed. But when you're in physical agony in pain, it's a totally different ball of wax. You are in a different resonance. You resonate at a very low vibration because it's very depressing. And you just can't even think. And they give you very, very heavy drugs for the pain. Sure. And so sometimes people will come and visit me, and I know that some of you may be feeling this right now. You may be feeling like when you're feeling in fear or emotional distress, you cannot stand it when someone walks into your periphery, even if it's just via Skype or something, and they're just like pooing daisies with happiness. You know, they're just so happy. They're like, how are you doing? And you're like, oh, my God, kill me now. Get rid of this person. Because when you're resonating at a different frequency, it is extremely uncomfortable to be around something where you're not resonating at all. Wow. So people would put these cassettes, this is back in 1989, these cassettes on of positive things that I'd never heard of in my life. And I didn't like listening to them because I wasn't resonating to hear positive stuff being said. And something changed, Connie. I had this spiritual epiphany. When someone put on the cassette Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill,
yeah.
Earl Nightingale in his beautiful, deep baritone speaking voice, speaking this book. So I enjoyed listening to the tone of this man's voice. But the book itself I didn't find very interesting until Napoleon Hill was talking about how his little boy, his son, was born with no hearing, no ears, and how... or eardrums. I don't know if it was actually the ear or eardrums. I don't recall exactly right this moment, but he couldn't hear at all. And so every night, Napoleon Hill, for hours, every night, would speak into his little boy's ear, his little son, infant's ear, you can hear perfectly. You are a great, healthy child. You grow up to be this great man. And he refused to put his son in a hearing aid school. I mean, a hearing
impaired school.
Yeah. He put him in a normal school. The son went on to getting 30% of his hearing by the time he was five. And then later in life, he went on to lead the hearing aid industry and become extremely successful. And of course, get 100% hearing because he made sure the hearing aid industry really, you know, went ahead with leaps and bounds. So, because back in those days, because we're talking about, you know, the 20s and 30s, I remember even my grandma, and this was like in the 60s, I remember my grandmother had a big hearing, you know, a big thing.
Sure, I remember.
Sing into that. She'd like me to sing Que Sera Sera when I was a little girl to her, and I have to sing into that, my great-grandmother actually. But so I said, okay, I've got nothing to lose. I'm going to do an affirmation, an auto-suggestion. So Napoleon Hill said, you have to state it in the moment, in the now.
That's right.
As if it's already happened.
That's right.
You have to make it personal, and you have to emotionalize it for it to go into your subconscious mind. Because even back in those days, back in 89, they didn't really have the quantum physics to understand how the brain worked. They did know that, you know, if you do not believe something, it goes into the short-term memory and then out it pops later. You don't have it in the treasury of your subconscious mind. It's not a new thought, a new thing that you've learned. And so I said, okay, I am healed, because I was told I wasn't. and I probably never be completely healed. Oh, that's going to be a good affirmation then, because none of that's true.
Sure.
I love myself. I am my friend, because I didn't love myself. I was depressed. I felt suicidal, but I couldn't do anything about it. And so I kept saying it over and over again, just for a couple of days. But then I stopped and I just said, this is BS. It does not work. How am I going to emotionalize something I don't believe while I'm in pain? 2 days later, Connie, 2 days later, I woke up in the middle of the night in the hospital and I was like, oh my God, you're a singer-songwriter. You can't get a jingle or a pop song out of your head. Sing the affirmation. So I got somebody to bring in my little cassette player from home, which I normally had with me all the time because I would write song ideas. I would sing them down onto the cassette so that they wouldn't fly off out into the universe with
that. Right, you had to ground them.
Forgotten, yeah, you got to hook that thing. And so I sang, I am healed, I know I am. I love myself, I am my friend. And I would just sing it over and over again. And then in between I'd be, the healing light of the universe surrounds me and flows through me, and I know that I am healed. Then I'd sing it again and again. And it went for 90 minutes, this long cassette, and I just listened to it over and over again. So I had miraculous healing in my body, and the rest of the story is quite interesting as well, but I'll stop there. And
my first question, the verbal affirmation that you kept saying, I'm healthy, I'm strong, I'm my friend, you were like, this is crap, right? This is not working for me. And yeah, then when you thought, well, wait a minute, right? This epiphany, usually we have our best thinking at night in the middle of the night, you bolt upright in bed and you're sitting there thinking, wait a minute, let me sing it, because that's your soul. Singing is your soul.
I couldn't sit up. I couldn't move.
Well, you know what I'm saying, right? You didn't do the bolt upright, right. But your eyes opened and you thought, holy crap, wait, I'm a songwriter. I'm a singer. Let me switch that up a little bit. And by the way, that was beautiful. Your voice just then was just beautiful. And I listened to some of your tapes and the affirmations and stuff. And it really, I have to tell you, it pumps you up. So this is my question, just to go. I just wanted to compliment you on that, because I do love your music, the affirmation music. Why do you think, and now not just for you, because certainly it worked for you, but you're a singer. So people listening, Michelle, are saying, yeah, but she's a singer, you know, whatever. Why do you think the singing with the affirmations was so pivotal and so dramatic in your recovery? And do you think that's the same for all?
Yes, I do. And a very, very good question. Well, first of all, you don't have to emotionalize something when it's music. That's why children can remember the ABCs when they sing it, because it goes straight into the subconscious mind immediately. It's the left side of the brain is where the affirmations, the logic, the words. The right side of the brain is the melody and the music, and you have an entire, you know, a whole brain experience. So that's why it goes into the treasury of your subconscious mind immediately. And why advertising agencies, and I had written jingles for advertising agencies over the years for extra money. I didn't tell my band, because that wasn't a cool thing to do, but anyway, I did it.
Got to pay the bills. And,
you can't get a jingle out of your head. That's why they spend not millions a year, advertising agencies, but billions. They know if they can get a good jingle to be associated with their product, you'll have it forever. And I don't know if you've ever heard of Vegemite, something that Australians eat on toast in the morning.
Yes.
Well, any American who's ever tried it, any of my friends, I always get them to try it. They're like, oh, look. Why do Australians love it so much? Because from childhood, we heard the jingle. We're happy little Vegemites, as happy as can be. We all enjoy our Vegemite for breakfast, lunch, and tea.
So it was ingrained in you to like this stuff, right?
Yes.
I love it. But that's a good point, Michelle. It's such a good point, because the affirmations, right, the verbal, the intellect is the left side. And then that creative, right, that music is on the right side. And really, music, I think, taps the emotional component of the soul. And I'm sure you've experienced this, especially as a singer-songwriter. But when the person sings, you know how sometimes you you could cry from someone just performing a song, right? Because their soul is singing it to you. You feel it, you get goosebumps. I don't know if you watch The Masked Singer. It's a hysterical show here in the United States. Yeah. And they're masked. They have these costumes on and they sing. And so you can't see their facial expressions or anything because they have these masks on. And when they sing, you really, you're resonating with the sounds more than the character because they're goofy characters. And at some songs, I'll tell you, you get very emotional. Even the panel that are judging will cry. So music, I think, gets to the essence of our heart and soul, where the logic is just the affirmations. Am I understanding that correctly and how you experienced it?
That's perfect. I mean, I watch The Voice. I like The Voice.
Yes.
We've got that in Australia. Sure. And we've got it in America.
Sure.
And when they turn the chair, I think it's really, really cool that they aren't basing on what the person looks like,
no,
but what they're feeling from the voice.
That's right.
And a voice, it's not about how great your voice is. It's about the emotion. If someone's got a unique voice and it's a really fast vibrato, but they've got the emotion, they may not have the vibrato that everyone thinks is cool, but you can feel it. Like Mick Jagger, his father once said to him when he was much younger, "What are you doing this rock and roll business for, son? You're intelligent. We're all school teachers. You know, you're not that good looking and you really can't sing." And his father said, "Thank God, Mick Jagger, my son did not listen to me."
Yeah.
"Because I live in a beautiful house now. I'm retired."
Absolutely.
"Because of my son." You
absolutely
know, so it's up to an individual taste on what you like to hear singing. But the thing is, you don't even have to sing along. You just listen and it goes into your subconscious mind whether you like the song or not.
Sure.
And that is why jingles work. And that's why I do my affirmation songs in such a simple way so people can have them. I've done them for children as well.
Yeah.
I mean, one gig I did with Mark Victor Hansen, all these kids showed up and Mark Victor Hansen said, "Michelle, what have they come for?" And I said, "Because all the parents, they're all like little fans of my kids' affirmation songs. So they all come along, all the little kids." It's so
you're like
cute.
The Pied Piper. So I have another question. So you've traveled all over the world, large audiences and, you know, world leaders in self-development. You've been on stages with all of them. Did visualization help you with attracting all of these amazing opportunities as well, like a combination?
No, not to start with. What happened was, it's interesting, visualization did help me later.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I did a visualization was because I was painfully thin. I was about 80 pounds when I was released from the hospital. And I all these different people, as I mentioned before, have been giving me tapes to listen to. And one of them was talking about visualizing what it is that you want. And I said, "You know what?" And I hope Kylie Minogue doesn't mind. She's another fellow Aussie singer. But she's short like me and quite petite. And I said, but, you know, I needed to put some weight on and be healthy. And so I put my face on her body and I used the affirmation along with the visual. And I said, "I am now at my perfect weight, looking good and feeling great," which I did into a song later as well, affirmation song. And that's for people. If you're your perfect weight, it doesn't mean you're overweight or underweight to sing that song. That means that you're. And what happened was I started feeling compelled to start working out, which I'd never done because I figured 5 to 6 hours on stage every night, that's enough working out.
Sure.
But I started doing weights and getting a different type of body type, a stronger body, because you don't want to just be, you know, you want to be toned and feel strong within
sure
yourself. And that just came about because I was resonating with the visual and with the affirmation song I wrote for it. And so what happened to me was when I did a gig with Bob Proctor, this is how I, if it's okay if I segue into how I end up working with all of these.
Yeah, sure.
You know, great thinkers.
Tremendous opportunity, Michelle. Tremendous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I didn't know who any of these people were. So when I got out of the hospital, some journalists did a story about, you know, Australian singer Michelle, blah, blah, blah. They did a TV interview and some promoters in Australia said, came to me and they said, "We would like you to sing your affirmation songs in between these amazing authors, Dr. Deepak Chopra, Stuart Wilde."
Oh, my God.
Who else was it?
Was it Bob Proctor?
Wayne Dyer.
Wayne Dyer.
Those three for this particular tour. Oh. And so I toured all around Australia with them, had dinner with them every night, and they were just all saying, "Look, you've got to actually speak about your story with these affirmation songs. We give you permission to do that while you're touring with us, because it's really amazing. And we've been teaching this for years to do this.
Absolutely.
And so I didn't visualize working with these people. I didn't know who in the hell they were. Never heard of them before. And Dr. Deepak Chopra, in fact, he was sitting next to me at the back of the room after I just got off stage. I got all my little spangly things on and everything. And he's sitting next to me. I didn't know who he was. Next to, he could have been the sound guy for all I knew. And Stuart Wilde was on, and I said, oh, God, he cracks me up, this Cockney guy. You know, Stuart Wilde's just a crack-up, real metaphysical, very spiritual, but very, very irreverent, which I've always loved in any person.
Sure.
Which is why I love Monty Python. Anyway, and he said, I thought it was really good what you did. And I said, oh, thanks. And, you know, and I said, oh, I'm Michelle Blood. And he said, oh, I'm Deepak. And I said, oh, nice to meet you. And I said, are you one of the speakers? And he just started laughing. And he said, you really don't know who I am. I said, I'm sorry.
You're a riot.
Then the next month, another different promoter said, I want you to tour with Bob Proctor. He's an author and very well-known speaker. And I said, I've never heard of him. Anyway, so the first night I was with him, Bob Proctor said, I will not have a singer. I'm not like... This is serious, what I teach. I want people to understand and be transformed. I will not have a singer. And they said, look, we're paying you to do this gig, and we're paying her to do it. She's going to do it. She's really good at uplifting the audience. Halfway through that night, when there was a break, he came backstage and he said, I apologize. I did not want you on this stage. He said, you are doing what I've been teaching for years. I had no – why didn't someone think to put it into music? And then he heard my story and he said, I want you to tour all over the world with me. He ended up writing 14 more affirmation songs with me. I ended up moving to Kuala Lumpur, running his business, having hit records, him and I, that we'd written together, and getting his book to be a bestseller all over the world. And then I ended up working, just people would come out of the woodwork that I'd never even heard of. We want you to work with Louise Hay. I don't know who she is. Blah, blah. That's how I found out who they were. I did not do visualization before that, but then I began to, because Bob Proctor said, we are going to visualize the biggest audience in the world with this new song that we're writing for Malaysia, Motivation for the Nation, Motivasi Untuk Bangsa. And so I got all the best rock singers from Malaysia to sing it with me, like a We Are the World. Yeah. And then Bob Proctor and I went to the middle. We were doing a video for it with all the singers for this new song. And Bob Proctor stood there and he said, look at this huge thing. He said, we're going to visualize. I know you can visualize. I know that you make things happen. We're going to visualize 25,000 people singing our song. And I said, well, you always say to double it. Okay, 50,000. A few months later, New Year's Eve in Kuala Lumpur, there's over 50,000 people in the audience. Me and 300 musicians and dancers and singers bringing in the new year, Motivasi Untuk Bangsa, Motivation for the Nation.
Love it.
I started doing a lot of visualizing after that.
You know, and it's interesting because, I mean, tragedy is what put you on this trajectory of this kind of spiritual journey, and you blended it with something that you were good at. That was you, right? And that was the music and the singing. Everybody is on some journey, Michelle, right? We don't know when, like Bob Proctor and Dr. Wayne Dyer. I wish I had met him before he passed. Same thing with Louise Hayes. I mean, these are just people who have affected my life personally on that spiritual journey. And here you learned as you went along. It's not like you grew up in that environment. It was the opposite. No. And you thought it was all a bunch of, you know, bunk until it started working for you. So it's really cool how you kind of built the affirmation, then the music, then the visualization came after meeting all these people. So you were inspired as you were living your dream, really your purpose here. So talk about the book. You did the book with Bob. Now you have your new book, The Magic of Affirmation Power, right? Now I know you have something special to offer the listeners. So if you could share that, but I want you to share why your book and why your free gift, right? Because I downloaded it. It's amazing. But why write the book now? You know, your music, okay. Why write a book?
I write a book every 2 years. I've got tons of books.
God bless you.
Whenever I have a new spiritual experience or awakening, I want to share it. I don't – everything that I teach or talk about, meditation, everything that I've done, everything that's happened to me, I talk about my own experience, nothing that I've learned from anybody else, sure. Just what's come directly through me. So when I was first in Kuala Lumpur, Bob Proctor said to me, I had this 6-cassette album called Affirmation Power, and he said, do a workbook or a book to go with it. He came back to Kuala Lumpur 3 weeks later, and I'd written Affirmation Power, a book with cartoons in it. And he's like, how did you get it printed and everything so fast? And I said, well, I wrote it by speaking the book on tape, and then I just had it transcribed. He's like, what a great idea. That's much faster. And I said, yeah. I said, I don't even know how to use a computer. I didn't back then, so I sort of did it that way. So 2 years ago, Connie, I had a lot of the old version of the very first book I'd ever written in 91. And so I decided to start giving them away at my events. And then I started getting all this feedback. Wow, your original story, you don't share that anymore. It's really good. Affirmations are great. And I realized, oh, my God, I sort of recalibrated what had happened. Sure. The affirmation music had made my frequency, my vibration at a higher frequency, a speed, an oscillation. And that is what started attracting all of these amazing opportunities. And all of the things I've been doing since singing on television since I was 5, all the things that I'd done being in front of big audiences, all that experience had led me to do my real, true, divine purpose, because I was already an established, experienced person on the stage. So then I decided, okay, what I'm going to do, I just feel that the world's going to need it right now. So in January this year, 2020, I decided to rewrite this book. So a lot of it is, you'll see in some of the book, oh, I'm sitting in Sarawak on the beach in Malaysia, because that's where I was when I wrote that chapter. So I've just changed a few things, did a different introduction, added a little bit more about meditation practice, and because it is the beginning. It is a beautiful way to begin, is to do affirmations. So I did a section on visualization and competition and a whole lot of things. Very, very simple. I'm a simple teacher. I'd say KISS, keep it simple and spiritual.
Me too, yep.
You know, and because nothing, if people go into complication, oh, it's a big secret and you've got to be this and that and you can't know this until you've become this. No, rubbish. We are all together one. And whenever we've got something that we know through our own experience has really assisted our lives, we have to share it.
Yeah.
We absolutely have to, once you've had it as your own experience, not just repeating something you know. You don't know it until you've had the experience. Otherwise, it's just a memory. You've just learned something.
That's right.
So that's why I redid the book. And for your listeners, there's also links in the book, in the ebook, that have got a magnetic creative visualization. And that is a wonderful visualization. It's not meditation. It's guided visualization. Even though you'll feel like you're being meditated, it's not. It's for you to start using that muscle and for you to visualize what it is that you want. It also helps relax your body and heal your body. And another thing for people that really want to get their act together, Michelle and Bob's turbocharged goal setting and learning how to set goals, what they really are, doing a daily list, listening to the first audio program that Bob and I ever did. I wrote the song Action for him. That was the first song I wrote, and he recorded a message to go with the song. And it really is a fabulous, timeless message on how to take positive action, how to use your willpower to propel yourself forward when you don't feel like it. It really, it doesn't just motivate you, it gives you ideas. So that's why we decided to give it michelleblood.com/, of course, Enlightenment of Change. Connie, lovely Connie.
And thank you for that. And I really do appreciate it. And again, like, I downloaded everything, like I had said. And I think that what is resonating for me about you is that you're talking from the personal experience, not, you know, I learned this over here and then repeat it, do it.
Yeah.
You didn't read and then apply. You were applying without knowing what you were doing to some extent,
yeah,
right?
Of course, so, I didn't know what I was doing.
Which I think makes it even more impactful for people who read the book, listen to the affirmations, because it's real from you. You're not giving advice, although you are in essence, but you're sharing your story so people, because here's the thing too, Michelle, I really believe that when people are in pain, and it doesn't have to just be physical pain, it could be emotional pain, like you were depressed, the mental pain, everybody's in some type of pain. We all have crap that we're dealing with, that when you talk from your story, hey, this was my pain, this is where I came from, this is why I did it. And you really did it from a survival standpoint, whether that was your intention initially, you were trying to survive and not die and actually heal your body so that you weren't going to be maimed for the rest of your life. So I think from necessity is where genius comes out, and that's where you started. And I think that's why your story maybe resonated with me so much, and why your voice is beautiful to listen to. So I think the combination of all the things I've been studying and then hearing your story again, because, you know, I've had crap in my life, pain in my life, but how to keep moving forward through it and use something that's fun and it's light, it's not heavy, you know, read this book, it's these short, cool, you know, boppy, you sit there and you bop as you listen to the music. So it's just wonderful. We're out of time, Michelle, but I just first thank you for the gift for my listeners.
You're welcome.
Thank you for the book. Thank you for your voice and for everything that you bring to the world, because you truly were meant to be an entertainer. You have a joyous voice. You have a tremendous energy about you. So you're doing what you said it, your sole purpose. You're doing it, sister. Because you're meant to be on stage. Now, I know live events with the coronavirus, everything kind of, you know, flatlined, but are you doing, streaming or anything like that?
Yeah.
So how could people find you with that? Just through your social media?
Yeah, well, at the moment, I'm doing a lot of free live streaming or webinars every day, actually. I've been doing them for 7 weeks now.
Cool.
You go to receivedivinelight.com, receivedivinelight.com, and you just come on to – it's either going to be a webinar or a live stream every morning. The only morning I don't do it is Monday because I've got other things I've got to do that day. But every other day, I'm doing it 6 days a week. It's free right now. And we will, from there, we will announce, once the lockdown's off, we will announce a beautiful two-day event that we're going to do in LAX, of the hotels there, because we were going to do a big one in March in San Diego, and 80% of the people were all from different countries that were coming.
Yeah.
So they've all still got their ticket waiting to fly back out, you know,
Yay.
So we'll do that. Yeah.
That's awesome.
You want to come? It's free for you, honey.
Oh, you're a love. I love it. Yes. Well, when we could travel again, it's weird because, you know, you don't hear airplane sounds outside, and all of a sudden you'll hear an airplane go by and you think, oh, I haven't heard that in a while, because travel is at such a minimum. We're living in crazy times. So that's
awesome. The pollution's gone right down.
It's awesome. The earth knows how to heal itself, right, Michelle?
Yeah.
It's outstanding. So thank you for that as well. And I will post that, receivedivinelight.com, so people could get your insight. And again, you pump people up. So I'd love to share that as well. Thank you. Thank you for being on. Thank you for sharing your music with my listeners. I'm beyond thrilled, to have that with them.
I love your energy. I love who
you
are. You're a person of excellence and humor and irreverence like me. I love the fact that you could say crap on air.
Yeah. Yeah. That was keeping it clean, so.
Yeah. Yeah, my students would tell you, Michelle can let it loose.
Yeah. Hey, it's honest, right? We're honest. It is what it is. But thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. And I really did enjoy your accent, by the way. I hope you enjoyed mine.
Oh, I did.
Yes.
So much. All my life hearing those accents on TV. But then when I came to America for the first time and listening to them, I'd be just like, when I first went to New York and visited Jersey, and I'm like, oh my gosh, John Travolta's voice coming out of this woman. You know, it's like, I love it.
I love it.
Keep talking.
You're adorable. You're adorable. Thank you. Thank you for being on and for sharing your story with us. I hope people took pieces. And again, we have tools for them, Michelle, which is awesome for them to have help them navigate change, or if they're in pain in some form, to help them come through it. So thank you again. And you guys, thanks for tuning in and joining us weekly. And I hope you continue to do so that together we really can master this art of change, whatever that is for you. And hopefully these tools that my guest and I share just help you, because we're all in this together. And if we could help each other propel forward, it raises the energy and vibration of the world, of the earth. And that's all good as well. So I hope you found today's conversation interesting and the tools we're sharing helpful. So thank you for tuning in. Thanks again, Michelle, my awesome guest. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. I wish you all a wonderful and inspired week. Use the affirmations attached and music. And by the way, dance while you're doing it. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.